Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out. Patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
My name is Jesse Buttafuoco. You may recognize the name Buttafuoco. Our name means fire thrower, Buttafuoco, throwing fire, you know. And now it means a joke, like top 10 list on David Letterman.
Number three, get one more cheap laugh by saying the word Buttafuoco.
It all started in May of 1992 with a gunshot. And from then on, life as I knew it was insane. You may even recognize the story, but I'm here to tell you, you don't know the real story.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and the Illuma Mommy herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the story of the Long Island Lolita. Shoop living room studio 2021. We moved around a little bit, but hey, guess what, folks? We got a new titillating episode for you, our conspiracy therapy list. Yeah, that's right. We'll get to that. Holy shit, it's a Larry suggestion. Great one, by the way.
Anything tabloidy.
Oh yeah,
I'm your man.
We're gonna get New York Postie. We're gonna get National Inquiry.
We're gonna get Larry a subscription to like every tabloid
with magazine.
Patreon money.
Oh yeah,
us.
Hard Target.
Oh yeah,
was it Inside Edition?
The Sun.
The Sun.
Yeah,
definitely the Sun.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get gossipy, folks, because it's 1992. Everything's great.
Ah, yes.
We got 92. The new Red Hot Chili Peppers. We got the new Michael Jackson.
This little band called Nirvana's blowing up.
Yeah, what's up with them?
Yeah.
What is this grunge?
They weren't French.
What is this fabulous Nirvana type of music?
Ooh.
Yeah, 1992. April remembers it as a...
I was a...
Four-year-old?
Well, three. I was four at the end of 92.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just turning 16.
Ooh!
Put me on the roads.
I was 10. Yeah. I was like... I'm just fresh out of my mom's womb, I am! Anybody got a Super Nintendo?
I would have had a Super Nintendo at that point.
Well, I would have found you.
I bought it with my confirmation money.
True story.
I remember just that night. Turn Def Leppard off here. after we got done with the confirmation, I grabbed all the money, counted it up, and I had my grandma drove me to Meijer.
Nice.
Super Nintendo with, what was it, Lakers versus Celtics? Or was the basketball game?
Oh, NBA Jam?
No, not NBA Jam. It was like NBA Lakers versus Celtics.
Oh, okay.
It was the early days of like, EA Sports.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get that.
But then you also had Super Mario World that came with the system.
It did come with the system. You're right.
So
I had a Link to the Past.
Oh, hell yeah.
My system was great. I kissed it.
Now Ryan's Links to the Past or his old Pornhub saves.
Or STDs.
Wow.
The Ring of Fire.
Hey.
I'll let you do that, but that's only because you guys are like my best friends, so it's fine.
I would say to this day that the Super Nintendo is
one of the better systems.
It's probably it's my favorite game system of all time. The one I looked at with the most...
That's another show topic we should cover sometime.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because
there were systems that came out, and it was just like... And April's like,
I had the Spice Girls game for the original PlayStation.
It was bad.
April was like, can we get some new fucking curtains before we get a new goddamn system? Yep. I love you. So, all right. So let's get real. Let's pull the Thunderbird to the side of the road. So we have to be honest with ourselves here because specifically this case led to Amy Fisher, who is one of the main players, actually ended up doing some sort of a sex tape, we'll say.
Hmm.
And I don't want to spoil it too much, but I'll just say
we go there.
How many of us have seen sex tapes of celebrities?
Yeah, I mean, because
everyone's gonna see all the hands that are up.
What's your favorite sex tape?
The Amy Fisher sex tape, and when she went to promote on the Howard Stern show with her boyfriend, who
fucking
creep.
Oh yeah,
rub that clip, baby.
Yeah, he's it, like his mouth is all like dry and so gross.
God.
My favorite sex
or
celebrity,
memories. Oh, really?
Because Chuck Berry was into some disgusting stuff.
Yeah.
And, the sex tape is, him farting into a hooker's mouth.
Hmm.
I win. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If it's a competition.
Yeah, it's morbid curiosity, though. Yeah. So.
Now.
And by the way, the human mouth acts like the open hole on an acoustic guitar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What do you do to that tape? Like, do you listen to it later and you just fap off? I mean,
man, if we had some delay to that, we could really sample it.
Like, purposefully released? Or was that
someone said? I don't know.
Because it's so hard because I feel bad.
I don't think Chuck would release that.
I just have a feeling.
I'm the god.
No, he released the other thing, so.
Right?
I'm the godfather of rock and roll. Nothing I like better than a big old juicy fart reverberating out of a
hooker's mouth.
Check it out. It's Stairway. Every mouth has its gas.
Baby, you have great acoustics. I don't know. Maybe he's just doing a sound check.
You want to hear my rendition of Dust in the Wind?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Dingleberries in your windpipe.
Oh, my Lord.
It is true, though. Chuck Berry
I didn't know he played wind instruments, but there you go.
There you go. Josh, do you have any sex tape memories, celebrity videos you saw?
I think we've all seen celebrity sex tapes.
What was one that, like, the first one that procured your interest or whatever?
The only one that I can remember seeing off the top of my head is, I think, the Paris Hilton one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I thought for sure me and you would have the same one because I know we're rock and rollers.
If you're talking about Pam and...
Yeah.
He's never seen it.
I've never seen that.
I have.
The dude's got a boat with his dong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker.
His dong is captain of the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a little captain's cap on his mushroom tip.
Oddly enough, the name of his boat was the SSTD.
this show with Larry.
Oh my God.
I love it. But yeah, no, it was, for me, it was Pam and, mm-hmm. and Tommy. That was my big moment. Yeah. What about you, April?
I mean, did you have a tape? I hate saying it, and I don't know if it's I would refer to it as my favorite, mostly because I know it was leaked like unintentionally, and it hurt her career. But like the WWE star page, that whole, because like there were a lot, like a huge amount of content was leaked, and it was pretty like
explicit,
spicy.
Yeah, like.
Did it make you like her more or less? Like, what did you think?
It didn't make me dislike her or like her less. I think it just was.
Damn,
it made her human. Like, it made her feel human. Like, interesting. Because looked at her as more like less of a, you know, this sort of WWE creation and more of like, yep, she put stuff in her butt too.
I feel like the same thing happened to me with the Hulk Hogan sex tape. Like, especially him being like, I had too much ham, brother.
It's such a Hogan thing to say.
Dude. Yep.
Oh my God. Like, he's in the process and he's like, God damn, why did I get seconds at the old country buffet? Mm-hmm.
Like, open your mouth, brother.
Meanwhile, Chuck Berry's like, that's a great riff.
Yeah, they're currently working on an album together.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so sex tapes, I mean, that was kind of this generation's mm-hmm. thing. Like,
I think the more things were filmed mobily, like on mobile devices that are super hackable, instead of like home video VHS tapes.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of the Fappening, was it was celebrities' mobile devices were being hacked into.
And I remember seeing some of those. I saw Jennifer Lawrence mm-hmm. pictures.
Yeah.
And they were pretty modest because, I mean, full disclosure, you're not a creep if you send sexting pictures to your loved one and or your partner.
Right.
Like, believe me, we're here to say,
do your thing.
Love yourself, love your body. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks, especially with this hacking mm-hmm. culture that's like, oh, we found out.
You have a penis, like, or you have boobs, like, we've all seen them.
Well,
like,
full disclosure, Breer City Media employees, all of us have had sex multiple times in different orifices and had a great time.
I'm the only one without receipts.
Larry's secretly still a virgin.
Oh my God,
5-year-old virgin.
That would not make sense to me. No. Not with his swagger and that hair. Right.
Explains his anger.
His anger's all about me being late.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about that another episode.
Subscribe to the Patreon. Mm-hmm. Two things that piss me off: cocks and clocks,
and slippery socks.
Fuck! I can't stay here. Yeah. Pound this meat.
Oh my God.
Anyway, but it's okay. So yeah. Sex tapes were always kind of a thing for me just growing up. Like, I remember hearing about Tommy and what was it? Tommy and Pam. Yep. Pamela Anderson.
Tanya Harding had one.
Really?
Yep.
Good Lord.
She released it herself. Yeah.
Oh, she did.
I remember seeing the stills in Playboy.
Oof.
Back then, when like you actually had to do some work to film it, you had to set up the camera with a tripod, mm-hmm. find the tape. No, that's a kid's graduation. Eighth birthday. We can just put a piece of tape over the little hole and record
tape over that. That's Star Trek. I need that.
It's my ESPN clips.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know if you watched it, but Farrah from Teen Mom, like the really crazy one from Teen Mom, did a sex tape too. And that was like a big deal. That's the reason MTV kicked her off the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And
she's also crazy. But
who knew MTV had standards?
I know, right? Could have fooled me. I watched Rock of Love. No, wait, that was VH1. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. VH1's like, look at me. Look at me.
We'll do anything. Here.
Flavor of Love? Anyone?
Love that show.
I fucking love that show. Yeah. I love Flavor Flav.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because you juxtapose him with Chuck D, and it's like, couldn't be any different.
Oh,
Flavor Flav looks like a cancer patient next to
Flavor Flav's doing Flavor of Love, and Chuck D's doing political movements.
My first real disappointment as a child is when I found out that Flavor Flav and Brigitte Nielsen didn't work out.
I know, yeah. That was sad.
I was genuinely sad because that was
seemed like the perfect,
what a matchup. She just like threw him over her shoulder and carried him up the stairs.
It's time for bed, little
sorry, I thought you had an actual wristwatch. Turns out you're a human being wearing a clock.
Oh, oh my God.
We're off to a great start. Yep. All right, so that's your truth corner. Sex tapes, they happen. Yep. Maybe it'll come up again later on. But we have more information to talk about. So I want to just kind of go off the cuff a bit and just explain kind of my experience with this episode. Specifically, I was surprised with how much commotion this caused in the media.
Yeah, that's so strange. It's not like the first time something like this has ever
happened. No.
Well, I feel like this hit at the exact time where like it was the golden age of media buzz, like buzzworthy stories, because it was sort of around the same time as like the OJ scandal and the, you know, the LA riots. It was all about scandals. Menendez, and there was a lot of like daytime talk TV where it was all sort of getting, it was like tabloidy stuff.
I think it was
really heavy into the tabloids.
I think it was sex and there was a minor involved.
Right.
And that just fucking,
well, and he's such a charismatic person just naturally.
Oh my
that
God.
I think
it's insane because it's funny because I watched the Drew Barrymore Lifetime movie about this, and it kind of it was terrible in all the other ways, but like the one
that's my ding-a-ling.
The one focal point of the movie was on his charisma. And it's true. I mean, his family were in heaven. If you listen to every one of his family members, even his daughters,
I thought
like,
Fisher killed them too. Because they were all in heaven.
Oh, Josh, what would we do without you?
Right.
I love you, man. So no, it was very,
I mean, that was his high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he was 16 when he met Mary Jo, and it became,
oh, we got someone at the door.
Uh-oh, let's see what's going on. We might have to pause.
You want to grab Brando?
Did we just get ding dong ditched? Oh,
God, I hate living here. I'm really glad we got Ryan roped into living here too.
You should suffer too.
It's not bad where I am. I don't get ding dong dish, but she also lives next to a crazy
QAnon.
I do.
He's got QAnon neighbors, and I've got like the Jerry Springer 20 living next door.
You are not the father.
Evil universe Rugrats next door.
You gotta be shitting me. I thought for sure it was me that put it in her. Oh, god damn. I gotta fucking. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Well, so. Yeah, it was definitely a crazy time when it came to tabloids. It was a crazy time when it came to media. And again, I think a lot of what the New York Post ran with at the time, which they were the ones that dubbed the Long Island Lolita, I think a lot of it came down to sex and a minor.
For
and
sure.
Then also violence.
Shooting doesn't hurt either.
Oh, no.
Especially if you survive it.
Well, especially like such a brutal shot like that.
Yeah, and I do feel bad for her, and this doesn't feed into the verdict. I feel bad for Mary Jo because she stood by him for a very long time, but we'll get into that, and we'll get into the origins of this whole story. So. Right. What's wrong, Josh?
Because she's...
All right, we'll talk about it in the verdict.
Yes. So we'll start. Let's give a little background information. For those of you who didn't know, Joey and his wife, Mary Jo, met at summer school in the beginning of ninth grade. They were high school sweethearts the entire time they were in high school. He was very, like we had mentioned before, super charismatic and was, kind of a troublemaker, was very loud, you know, and Mary Jo was the opposite. She was quiet and abided by the rules, and he was sort of attracted to the fact that she was
pretty.
Yeah, pretty, and so opposite his personality.
Right.
So after they graduated, they lived in Massapequa. After they graduated high school, Joey started working at the family business with his dad, which was an auto body repair shop. They had a little boy and a little girl. After they had had their first son, during this time, he was still sort of a party guy. This was sort of the turning point where Mary Jo was like, okay, look, you either need to drop the habit, because he was still doing a ton of cocaine. It was like the mid 80s, early to mid 80s.
But it was similar to like the people that you know who can handle certain drugs and abuse them. He was the abuser, and she was like, I can do a shot of coke and a beer and I'm good.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know when to stop. And it was becoming an issue, especially after their first son was born. Jeez. So he did actually do a stint in rehab before his daughter was born. So, I mean, other than that, though, they had a beautiful house in Massapequa. They made a shit ton of money. She, I believe, worked at a bank.
Yeah.
It was like a sleepy little town. Massapequa was like this incredible little nook of the world that was just all...
They could go to the
unicorns
beach,
and rainbows. They, yeah, like it was super safe. No one locked their doors. I mean, it was the 80s. No one locked their doors anyway, but...
This gave me flashbacks to when I was a kid, but like the day of the crime, the little boy and the little girl were going to ride bikes to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to walk to school too.
Mm-hmm.
Like with my little backpack on, and I would just walk to school. It's fine.
Yep. Ride skateboard to school.
Yeah. So, I mean, for such all intents and purposes, they presented as a super happy married couple. I mean, even Mary Jo has said in interviews, like, I didn't suspect anything was wrong. I mean, they were very amicable. Even the kids have said, like, yeah, my parents had like an ideal marriage. They got along with all the neighbors. They had like an ideal childhood. That, of course, is until Amy Fisher enters the picture. She's quite a character. Joey Buttafuoco met Amy Fisher when her parents brought their vehicle to his auto repair shop. Their meeting was about 1.5 years before the incident that we'll talk about later. They started the alleged affair soon after meeting, according to a May 23, 1992 article in the New York Post. His business... It was located in Belmore. It's called the Complete Auto Body Repair Shop. I guess what had happened is, so her parents had taken their car in first, and upon her seeing him, like, wrecked her car, or like did damage, mm-hmm. body damage mm-hmm. to her own car as mm-hmm. an excuse to go there and see him.
Well, so, he would have been what, I in his mid 30s?
She was, yeah, 30, he was 34, 30,
yeah, 35, 36.
He was 36 when they've,
and
first
she was like
met.
16.
Mm-hmm. 16, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like this, again, long.
Like an Elvis song.
Well, she was also not happy with her parents. There's also allegations that possibly mm-hmm. the father had molested her. And yeah. even though he gave her a car, he was still very strict. And even though he had set things up so that basically if the car gets wrecked, Joey's going to take care of it, send me the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But she still was scared of her dad because he was so domineering.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, I mean, he was a family man. He owned the auto body shop. He looks like this. I mean, at the time, not now because he's old as shit, but like at the time, he was this charismatic. Everybody in the community knew who he was. He was loud. He was boisterous, but he was also funny and caring. Mm-hmm. He seemed like somebody who you would like.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, even his daughter had said in an interview, like, he was the cool dad that was like getting all the other kids into mischief because he just wanted to like have fun.
Right.
And it was in that 2020 interview that we played a clip from at the beginning of the episode that they had talked about. He had taken the boat out and was doing like wheelies in his boat or whatever. And
wheelies?
You know, it made sense in my brain. I don't know what do you call those? Like spinnies?
Driving spinnies? Rooster tails.
Yeah, there we go. He was doing rooster tails. Sure, I don't know. But he when he came back towards the beach, they noticed he was being followed by a Coast Guard boat or a you know, whatever. And everyone on the beach started chanting, "Let Joe go."
Oh wow. Yeah.
And he got off without
audio
a ticket.
Of it.
Yeah, there's video of them all chanting that. So he was like super well loved and respected in his community. And like even in interviews, he seems like such a stand up, decent guy.
Which is always the trouble when doing episodes like this, because even Gacy, who we've done John Wayne Gacy, like he had a very similar thing where he was super charismatic, like all about the community. But was that a front? Or was that realistically like who he was? And I feel like, again, and we'll get to it later on, I think it was probably a front. Mm-hmm. Really? I think it was a way to cover up the fact that he was.
But that's how he was in his youth, too, though.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It's something to consider as we get, you know, when we get towards the end of the episode. But yeah, it is. It's true. If there's anything you have to say, it's that these people specifically have this larger than life personality. Mm-hmm. They have this ability to manipulate people on a grand scale, whether it be good or bad. They have this ability to kind of get into everybody's heads in a certain way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's good or it's bad, but Joey, you know, when I watch those gangster movies or the Italian inspired type films, especially like Martin Scorsese movies, it's this thing where they immediately make you feel like you're part of the family. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's really hard to be upset with them.
Martin does that too.
I know.
Only when you're there though.
Yeah. Once you leave.
Yeah. Once you leave, you're
behind your back.
Yeah. They kick you right on the
bum. So you're still family because they talk behind your back. So, you know.
See, the problem here, and you hit the nail on the head with the word manipulate, because I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that Amy Fisher is 16.
Exactly.
She's a kid.
She's
very
a baby.
Impressionable. And she sees this dude in his mid-30s who's got, it seems like he has it all, the beautiful house and this and that.
Josh,
and the other
you're 36, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So your age.
Yeah.
Can you imagine ever, I mean, I know you have the love of your life in front of you, but like a 16-year-old siren walks in to the
I mean a fetus.
Yeah, basically.
Right, no kidding.
That's what they look like. Well, you never know, because you can see girls that are like, or well, people, I should say, that are 16, and it's like, no way, you've got to be in your 20s at least. I mean, that does happen.
Well, then think about the Wizard of Oz.
I just saw a thing of this kid who's 14 who is playing football, and they're like, he's already got scholarships set up to go through like Alabama, their big college football team. Yep. Dude's a fucking juggernaut at 14 and looks like he's way older. So we don't. I didn't see what she looked like when she was 16, where maybe it's like, oh yeah, she looks like she could have been.
She doesn't look 36.
No.
Well, right.
No.
But
and she also didn't look like his wife, who he should have been.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were my wife.
But I just don't want us to lose sight of the fact that she was a kid that was easily impressionable. And we know that her dad was not great to her.
No, he wasn't.
Daddy potentially
issues. Yeah, right?
Daddy issues big potentially time. Could have been molested by him. Mm-hmm. So I want us to remember that, because that I think that's going to play into the verdict later.
Sure.
I appreciate that insight. Are you all set?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So basically where she ends, basically there is this disconnect as far as his wife and what's going on in his life. I think she was so happy to be a housewife and she had two kids, like we said. Mm-hmm. At some point this girl shows up selling cookies I don't know if we brought this up, but the girl was kind of putting the pressure on Mary Jo, and being the good Catholic schoolgirl, she was like, I'm good, but, you know, whatever. And then she ends up buying the candy from this person who comes there.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was like 50 cent discounted chocolate bars from the grocery store. She found the she saw the receipt on the back of the candy bar. She was like, Jesus Christ. But she remembered. Hustled. She remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
So on May 19th, 1992, Amy Fisher had come to the Buttafuoco's house and confronted Mary Jo. Now, this was after said incident. About Joey Buttafuoco, with whom she had been having a sexual relationship since July of 1991. So, roughly a year.
Mm-hmm. It'll come up later, but I know he denied those. But it was proven that he...
We'll talk about that later.
That's why I'm asking if it was later on in the show.
But yes, there's some things that'll come up later that'll be like, oh, interesting.
Or,
right?
Or disgusting, yeah. So after Fisher brought her vehicle to Buttafuoco's auto body shop in Baldwin, Nassau County, New York. So basically, she came up to her and was like, your husband is having an affair with my sister. When Mary Jo answered the door, Fisher, posing as her own fictitious sister, Anne Marie, offered as proof of the affair a t-shirt. So she had a kind of like one of those one-off, be like if somebody had a conspiracy therapy mm-hmm. shirt and it was like legit. Like
like one of the ones that we had made.
Right, yeah.
Basically. You're like, hey, wait a minute. There's only four of those.
Right.
Wait a minute.
This one's got holes all in the armpits. It must be Josh's.
This one has cigarette burns. It must be Ryan's.
This one's covered in dog hair. It must be Larry's.
This one has soda stream.
This one's all stretched out in the chest region. This must be April's.
This one has pee everywhere. It must be Riley's.
Oh, sprinkler dog.
He's so adorable when he sleeps, though.
I know you love him. So anyway, so she offered the t-shirt to Mary Jo and basically was like, look.
Yeah, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
The front porch confrontation escalated, and when Mary Jo demanded that Fisher leave and turn to go, by the way, she told her before she turned to go back to her house, she said, thank you for coming by, because her mother taught her to always have like a good, like Catholic demeanor mm-hmm. or ending. And that bothered me when I was watching the documentary mm-hmm. that she would be so kind of sweet at the end. And then she literally turns around and she gets shot in the back mm-hmm. of the head.
Right. Well, and the whole conversation that they had together was really odd, because originally she had come up and said, I'm Anne Marie. Anne Marie. That's right.
She was trying to say
she was 19 and like my sister's in the car and she's having an affair with your husband.
Right.
I found this t-shirt when I was making her bed. And Mary Jo said, oh, you still make your sister's bed? And they like it started off on a real weird foot. And then, the whole thing was very odd.
It's like the most awkward conversation. And then mm-hmm. it ends with a gunshot.
Yeah.
Too bad there wasn't Ring cameras back then.
Yeah, right.
So you could actually hear the conversation. Because like that's so strange.
I love Ring camera videos. People who post those. Did you see? I know we talked about it before. The one Ring camera video where the guy just licks the doorbell mm-hmm. for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
He really thought he was doing something, huh?
This tastes like snozzberries.
I almost wonder if he just thought, like, maybe they'll answer the door and then, like, I can just eat pussy for 3 days.
I guess.
I mean, if you're going to throw out your tongue talents that much, I mean, or I don't know. What are you doing when you're licking a? Okay. So, So this is interesting. So, like I said, Mary Jo demanded Fisher leave, turned to go into the house and called Joey. Fisher shot her in the face with a 25 caliber semi-automatic pistol. Once Mary Jo regained consciousness, she was in the hospital, I mean, we're talking days after this happened, like mm-hmm. everybody was like, what the fuck? Somebody shot Mary Jo.
And like, as you described that, that neighborhood, like mm-hmm. that
had serene,
like, yeah, it had yeah. to be like shocking.
Well, the neighbors heard the second it happened. I mean, they had police there like, almost instantly.
Oh my God, they'd Martha, put down the calzones. We got to go.
Wake up the police department.
Beach police, mm-hmm. the Baywatch of Long Island.
Just resting a donut on his big butt.
Yeah, no one simply puts down their calzones. You can't walk away from a calzone.
He's just this fucking apple fritter on his chest, just like
yeah, he's still got the napkin tucked into his shirt.
Yep.
He's got
my wife Louise says I can't eat a cruller before I come home because I won't eat my spaghetti.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, Tim. You know who's cruel? Her.
Thanks, Brad. I knew I could have you. You always got my back, brother.
He joined the police force for the action, but he's in this mm-hmm. town where there's nothing that happens.
Of course.
Has cowboy boots and revolvers at his side. He's like, I'm going to see some action today, brother.
I mean, there is definitely probably a niceness to being a cop in a small town like mm-hmm. this, especially a beach town with like wealthy families. Mm-hmm. What are you getting called to?
Right.
There's a dog peeing probably, in somebody's garden.
Probably a lot of domestic violence.
Yeah. Yes, I was just going to say, I'm sure it's very similar to like where we live. You know, this sort of area, it is not, but like we have a really low crime rate.
Somebody and took my license plate.
That's true. Sucks.
But that being
that's
said,
the worst thing that happened.
Exactly.
That being said, though, that almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because imagine like being a cop in L.A. where murder, it's like, okay, well, it's just another day on the job. You right. get desensitized.
Maybe, but you still have to tell the family, go up to the family's door, knock them and tell their kid's dead.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. That's got to suck.
The PTSD
but like,
that cops must have is, I'm sure, firefighters mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
Well, having been that we've done this show a long enough now, I definitely...
PTSD, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Covering some of these, yeah. I mean, Franklin cover up alone.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Or
Toy Box Killer. Fuck.
Toy Box Killer was really bad. I'll be honest with you guys. BTK. I didn't mm-hmm. like reading the fucking police.
We were going to talk about Burger King, and next thing you know, it's murder.
Yeah. No, Franklin cover up.
The only thing worse than murder is eating at Burger King.
You know what is crazy too? I saw a picture of BTK the other mm-hmm. day, and all I could think of was a stupid peas in a pod poem that I read. Two peas in a pod. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, you're a piece of yep. shit. And you wrote the worst mm-hmm. poem I've ever read in my life.
Some of those peas might mix those into your diet.
Or you could have just been a good dad and not right. fucking right? killed people and like took pictures of your son.
Brian, you're asking way too much.
I know. Yeah. Meanwhile, Joey Buttafuoco.
Class act.
Mm-hmm. Class act. His flame on the side decided to shoot his wife. It was not a good thing. By the way, that bullet, that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got lodged under her brain. They couldn't operate
yeah.
to take it out. They had, I mean, obviously, she went on Oprah Winfrey at some point, and like they were like, we're going to fix your face. Again, I'm sorry. You might be bringing this up down the road. But I'm saying, because I've watched a few things about this, and it just, I do feel bad for Mary Jo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, she didn't deserve it. She also stood by her husband. Mm-hmm. Like in that moment, she was
another humiliation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And she also, her demeanor with Amy Fisher when she, before she shoots her is so like, this is my husband. He has things. I don't know the ins and outs, but thank you for stopping by mm-hmm. and like leave. But she gets shot,
mm-hmm.
and it's
so quick.
He's great.
Trigger finger.
So, Buttafuoco's lawyer maintained that Buttafuoco was never involved with Fisher, and Fisher had invented the affair. While Fisher's lawyer portrayed Fisher as a victim whom Buttafuoco manipulated into the shooting. After Fisher's assault conviction, Buttafuoco was indicted on 19 counts of, listen to this, 19 counts of statutory rape, sodomy, and endangering the welfare of a child. He initially pleaded not guilty. He later changed his plea to guilty, admitting he had sex with Fisher when she was 16 years old. Bad boy. And that he had known her age at the time. He definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
He was sentenced to 6 months jail time and was released after serving 4 months and 9 days of the sentence.
Buttafuoco.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some fucking humdingers to throw at you.
In her book, If I Knew Then, Amy describes her first sexual encounter with Joey. She says, it was afternoon and Joey drove me home. It was the middle of the day and my parents were working upstairs in my bedroom. Before I knew it, he threw me on the bed and began telling me how much he loved me. Yeah. Don't worry, he said. I had a vasectomy, he said to me. But you say in the book that you weren't even sure what a vasectomy was.
I wasn't. I didn't have teenage boys telling me I had a vasectomy. Mm-hmm.
So we had sex and he kept saying all these really sweet things to me. And your thinking was, okay, Joey, we had sex. Now you're my boyfriend. And so then after that encounter, did you continue to see him? Was that was it, right? You saw him then every day, every...
At first I did, and, you know, it was at least twice a week for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want to make clear, too, that Joey, he knew me casually for about a year. He knew the relationship I had with my father. You know, my father would yell at me in front of people. Mm-hmm. He knew I was vulnerable. And I think that he preyed...
You were going what?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable, okay.
And I think he preyed upon my vulnerabilities.
You know what's so interesting about sexual predators, to make a point about what you're just saying? Everybody who has ever been a sexual predator, and all the millions of ones who are, it's a calculated move. It's very calculated. They see who is the most vulnerable and they see how far they can go and they work at pushing it. So I can guarantee you that between all the times that he saw you and saw what your father, how your father treated you and, you know, had decided that you were a pretty young thing, and whatever he said to you in the car or whatever he was saying to you to be so nice, that was all a part of the calculation and the manipulation.
Living Room Studio 2021. I'm gathered around in our little hovel of friendship. The skeptic, the mom, the beard. Here's truly Rad Dad 2021. We're talking about Joey Buttafuoco and the Long Island Lolita. Josh, you're gonna take us home?
Yes. So,
all right.
This is an interesting case because we know from the first half the incident. We know about the shooting. We know that Mary Jo survived. But what I think is the most interesting thing about this whole event isn't exact. It's not the shooting. It's everything that's happened since then.
Yeah,
because
I would agree.
This could have been something that was like on the Nightline 8 o'clock news, and it could have been.
Everybody tunes into the 8 o'clock news.
Hey, it's the dawning of cable TV.
Hey, Frasier's on. Why is the news here?
They have found a way over the years to make sure that these individuals are still relevant after
keeping that sponge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
after almost 30 years, we still know the name Buttafuoco. Now, the way that I decided to go about this, because I'm going to give you what's happened to each one of these three individuals, and I want to go through individually because it's something. And we're going to start this off with the man of the hour, the king of the castle himself, Mr. Joey.
Fix cars, yeah. You know, if you got a problem, maybe I'll tell you where the best calzone is made. But that, I got nothing else to say.
Okay. I mean, all the calzones are good.
What's a good calzone?
He said all of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All of them.
There's no such thing as a bad calzone.
It's like saying a bad taco.
What if a calzone didn't have anything in it?
Ooh.
What if it was just sauce?
It's just bread, then.
No, what if it was just sauce?
Then it's a...
it's a giant
bread
ravioli.
Stick. It's a loaded bread stick.
A loaded bread stick. Okay,
which
sure.
Could still be good.
I mean, I guess.
Okay. So
your determination to love on calzones is unmatched.
You know, it's not hard.
Josh, if you're the lover of calzones, though, I gotta know, what's in your favorite calzone?
You gonna do that to me? I mean, yeah, you're gonna have your sauce. You gotta have your cheese, and the sauce has to be like a good sauce with like a little bit extra garlic because I'm a garlic loving man.
Yeah, you're a Viking.
It's good to have the mozzarella. No, I don't know where that went.
But yeah, you're gonna have probably a couple different kinds of cheeses. You gotta have some good meats in there, maybe. And I personally, I'm a fan of pineapple. I don't care what anybody says. So I'm going to make like a Hawaiian calzone.
So ham, pineapple, bacon. A couple mixes of cheese, bacon, mm-hmm. and a good sauce mm-hmm. and some garlic.
Yeah.
That's a Josh calzone, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the
authentic
calzone.
Authentic Italian. An authentic Italian Hawaiian calzone.
Right. Hey, you know what? I'll take any calzone really though. They're all delicious, but yeah, let's talk about the man who's probably had a calzone or two in his day.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joey, we know that he went to prison. He only served a few months in prison for statutory rape, which I could go on about the justice system and how flawed it is.
This is 93.
And spoilers, nothing's changed. You could go to prison for raping somebody and be let out like it's like, oh, you did a bad thing, but here you go. Here's a couple hundred dollars for your troubles.
My dream job would be like if somehow the justice system were changed so that if you are a rapist, you just lose your dick. I would show up to court with like my tiny dick guillotine. I'd be like, sir, mm-hmm. just lay it here.
Well, it works for two things.
I would have the mask on, too. Because like, I would be real serious.
You could, if you just kind of put the tip in there, you can do a circumcision.
Right, exactly. Multi-purpose. Yeah.
Swiss Army knives. Dick choppers.
And if you have the mafia there, you could cut the tip off of someone's cigar for them, too.
True. Yep, exactly.
We'd have to do something similar to these teachers that bang, the female teachers that are out.
Oh, for sure. I would have to
hang them by their tits.
Hot poker.
I would think that the only thing that would be even remotely similar, because like it would have to be like a
might tiny
it would have to be a tiny clit guillotine.
Small, medium, and large.
Like, it would just be like a pencil sharpener.
Uh-oh, it's Tommy Lee. We better get the big one.
Okay. Oh. Yes. So he's only in prison for a few months, gets out. Buttafuoco and Mary Jo later moved to Southern California. And like Ryan mentioned earlier, she stayed very defensively loyal.
As soon as the allegations that Amy Fisher and her lawyer pushed forward came out, she was immediately on his side.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to vote because you look at the life that they had led. She had no reason to believe that he was cheating on her, mm-hmm. let alone with a minor.
Right. And I guess if you had to think about this in your own life, you'd have to think, like, if you're living a great life with your spouse, it would be like something coming along and threatening that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want to take that on headlong or do you want to deny it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, try to get back to that life of, you know, the perfect family in a perfect little town and where everybody loves you. She stayed loyal to him for several years. 3 years after the 1992 case, Joey ended up getting arrested again, though.
Uh-oh.
For solicitating a vice cop posing as a prostitute in Los Angeles.
Whoops.
Oh, boy. That doesn't make you look any better there.
And keep in mind, this guy went to rehab for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a history of kind of him faltering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then he was sentenced to a year in jail and 5 years probation in March 2004 after pleading guilty to insurance fraud.
Hmm.
This guy just is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, he was sentenced to a year in jail and 5 years of probation after pleading guilty, as I mentioned. As part of the sentence, he is prohibited from working in the auto body industry in California for the rest of his life.
Wow.
So the only thing that he's ever known, besides, you know, trying to sleep with people that are not his wife.
Right.
He also served 3 months for illegally possessing ammunition in 2007. He was on probation and he had ammunition. You can't have that.
Right.
Now, Mary Jo eventually did file divorce papers in Ventura County Superior Court on February 3rd, 2003. Well, that didn't, you know, stop Mr. Buttafuoco. He still had a spring in his step because 2 years later, he got married to Ivanka Frenchko.
Yes.
Sure.
The Frenchko family. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say I would say, especially from watching a lot of videos of her and like interviews, she was holding a lot in because she at one point asked him like point blank, Joey, did you cheat on me with this woman? Swear on your children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, I didn't cheat it. Like he literally did that. And she's
deny,
like,
deny, deny,
deny, mm-hmm. deny, deny.
Like and Dennis Rodman when he got busted.
Oh, yeah.
I think she dropped out of the ceiling. I don't know. That's literally what he said.
Oh, my God.
It was the same. I mean, this is almost carte blanche, the same type of like liar, sociopath type thing. But Josh, continue.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, Joey has made several TV appearances, including on Celebrity Boxing, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and The Howard Stern Show.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about Celebrity Boxing is I would imagine you already know, Larry. Do you guys happen to know who he boxed on Celebrity Boxing?
I want to guess that it was Amy Fisher's husband, but I think I'm wrong.
They did have a confrontation at one point.
I want to say Dustin Diamond for some reason.
China.
That's right.
What?
It's the entire country.
Oh my God.
Yeah. From the WWF at the time. Yes. China. Celebrity Boxing. Yeah.
No. China. What is China's story? Is that a female?
She was huge.
She was a female wrestler, a
bodybuilder first.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
She had a giant
clip. She could kick all of our asses.
Just absurdly long.
You want to talk about somebody with a celebrity sex tape?
Yeah.
The Tommy Lee brand. She drove a boat with that clip.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a human thumb.
There's genital boat racing on ESPN 14 about 2 a.m.
She was the boat.
Genital boat racing.
Like she could have penetrated someone with that clip.
Mm-hmm. Vibrators looked, went, no.
Mm-mm. Not today.
Got China coming up on left. China coming up on left. God, she's driving that motorboat real fast. ESPN 7.
Oh my God. Oh boy, according to his daughter, Joey, however, now is turning a new leaf.
Sure.
Quote, he's in a growth phase where he's in therapy, which is good, very good, and he's healing. Oh my God.
There she goes.
Oh, China's leaving the harbor.
Oh, bye, China.
I hope he's not using it to justify why he made so many poor decisions. This is his, like I said, his daughter, who is 36 now. I like this new man he is becoming. So it sounds like he's doing all right.
People can change.
Yeah.
It's true. Currently,
well, he also was on Dr. Oz and like 2018, basically saying like his uncle and aunt made him.
Where does Oprah find these doctors?
You know,
carry like cocaine in his rectum or something like that.
In his bunk.
All right.
So he's not that great. I'm just gonna.
Well, maybe he is now. We don't.
What, 65 by now?
66. Currently, he is working on a movie about his early life, according to ABC News.
Yeah, with him being a little five-year-old carrying cocaine in his butt or his nose or whatever. He's going to be a
Boy Scout who was on the baseball team.
I love you to death, man, but no, this guy is a sleazebag.
I don't even know why I'm trying to defend this guy.
He's been a sociopath his whole fucking life. He slept with a 16-year-old girl.
I mean, what's next? President of the United States of America?
On that note, we'll see you guys next week on another episode. I don't even know why I'm trying to see on the other side of the fence here. But he's a prick. We know that. We know he's a dick. But you
the
know
only what? Badge he's getting in Boy Scouts is exploring balloon knots.
Rusty Sheriff's badges.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's talk about Mary Jo.
Yes.
The only person in the story that you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So after splitting from Joey in 2003, Mary Jo continued to appear on various TV shows like Larry King Live, of course, the Oprah Winfrey Show, and Dr. Oz, because these are the, you know, we got to have everybody. We got to have the trifecta.
Well, she was offered a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. She's not doing bad for herself, but she's also giving money to charity for people that have head trauma.
She also loves her kids, and she has a fucking bullet in her underneath her brain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's also an author, because in 2009, her book, Getting It Through My Thick Skull, Why I Stayed, What I Learned, and What Millions of People Involved with Sociopaths Need to Know, came out and landed on the New York Times bestseller list.
Amen, Mary Jo.
Hey, you know what? Talk about a title, girl.
That tells you the fucking ending.
Right?
You can judge that book by its cover.
The memoir describes her life, just focusing on her shooting. She describes how she felt manipulated to stay with a person who was a sociopath. Book list called the book, which was published in July 2009, strangely compelling, and that readers will want to know, why did she stay with him? And I think that's something.
It's easy to read. You'll shoot right through it.
He's a real banger. But it'd be bad, like in my head, like I'm picturing the book and there's just like a hole like through the corner of it.
I mean, if they wanted to be insanely literal, I guess that would work. But at the same time, she went through such a horrible thing. I mean, if you take this case,
just the physical rehab alone.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
It threw off her
equilibrium.
Your equilibrium. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly nauseous. Ugh. You're constantly thrown off.
Vertigo.
I don't want to get too much into my verdict, but this is the character I feel the worst for. Because she's just a good girl who met a good Italian boy and thought she was having a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now for years.
Ragu! That's the reason.
At least he's not saying like Pragu or
Prego.
Oh
no, that's for.
Oh, he's not going to like when you do that. He always yelps when you try to do that.
He's fine.
Now, for years, the result of her injuries lingered, which makes sense. In 2006, Buttafuoco underwent a facial reanimation procedure with facial plastic surgeon Babak Azizida.
Bizuntite.
Involving static facial suspension, facelift, and eye lift procedures.
That name just sounds like he's from, like, he's like a creature Romania. From the Never Ending Story or something.
Who knows? These surgeries restored balance and gave her back her ability to smile. She could not smile for 13 years.
And she looks great now. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks really good.
Next was surgery to widen the ear canal, which improved her hearing and prevented future infections.
Didn't Amy try to do that herself?
You got Josh to blow raspberries, so you know it's bad.
God.
I mean, yeah.
I'm blowing raspberries out of my butt right now, too.
That's good, Lord. Josh. What'd you have for dinner?
She also underwent physical therapy to strengthen her facial muscles, which she explained on an appearance on Oprah. Yep. Buttafuoco is still paralyzed on one side of her face and deaf in one ear. Quote, after 25 years, that surgery made it so I can see the side of my teeth.
Well.
In 2012, Buttafuoco married Stu Tendler in Las Vegas. So she found love. She found love. And then he died in 2018 from cancer.
Why are you laughing? What is wrong with you?
It's funny.
He just literally is like,
it was the delivery.
It was the delivery.
She finally found love and then he died.
2008, she met
the love of her Dibbler. Life.
And then
it was more like the love of his life.
Right? And then 1 year later, he died in a roller coaster accident.
Died on the shooting range.
Oh! She accidentally shot him in the head.
Oh my God.
So, sorry. Mary Jo, we love you.
Now let's talk about the Lolita.
All right.
Ooh.
Amy Fisher. Now, there's a reason why I saved her for last.
Uh-oh.
She did serve 7 years in prison and was granted parole in May 1999. Following her release, Amy stayed in Long Island and wrote newspaper columns and a book called If I Knew Then. According to A&E, 4 years later, she married former New York City police officer Louis Bellera.
Oh, Lou. Dirty Lou.
Oh, yes. The couple had 3 children before divorcing in 2015. Amy asserts that Louis guided her towards a career in the sex industry, a claim that Louis denied in the New York Post. On October 2007, the New York Post published allegations that Bellera had sold a sex tape of the couple to Red Light District Video of Los Angeles.
I've seen some of this stuff.
All I had to do was read Red Light District Video. Yeah, and I was right? Like, anytime you hear that name, it's like, ooh, they've got dirt on a lot of people. Huh. Or what's porn.
What's funny is I've never been the type of person to, like, I've watched porn and been like, what's her name? What's her name? Or what's her real name? But, like, when I saw the images of her nude, I was like, oh, I think I've fapped off to some of these.
What happened? Moving around.
That's Lou.
Oh, Lou.
That's it. Up and down the class like that. Oh, yeah, like that.
Meanwhile, it's his wife. He's fucked her 20,000 times.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's talk more about this. So Red Light District Video published a press release stating that it intended to release a sex video of the couple. Shocker, it happened.
Mm-hmm. Luke shot his load.
On October 31st,
good job, Lou.
Nude photos of Fisher from the video were posted at various internet sites. And on November 1, 2007, a teaser clip was released by Red Light District Video that showed a nude Fisher showering and sunbathing, which is really nothing. I mean, it's still a personal video, but that's not like too bad. Mm-hmm. Of note were a tattoo surrounding her navel and a breast augmentation. On November 6, 2007, Fisher sued Red Light District and its owner, David Joseph, claiming copyright infringement and other damages. But by November 8, 2007, AmyFisher.com, a website whose ownership Fisher had previously fought to win, had begun pointing directly to the Red Light District website. Mm-hmm. In early 2008, Fisher announced that she had settled with Red Light and agreed to do a related promotional appearance. Mm. The same announcement indicated that she and Bellera had reconciled. The promotional appearance took place at Retox in New York City on January 4th, 2008. Clips of the video were played on the Howard Stern Show. On March 6, 2008... Fisher was a guest on the Stern Show, and one topic of discussion was meant to be her video. But after the first phone call, which was from Mary Jo Buttafuoco's daughter, Jessica, Fisher left the show 6 minutes into the interview.
It is one of the greatest radio segments I've ever heard.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, and considering it's Stern, I mean, that 6 minutes, there are a lot of things could have happened. On January 12, 2009, Fisher released a pay-per-view adult film titled Amy Fisher, Totally Nude and Exposed. Fisher signed a deal with Lee Entertainment to become a stripper.
Do you think
at least once a month? Fisher claimed she planned to strip until her fans told her, quote, "Dear, please put your clothes back on. You're too old."
Do you think Joey Buttafuoco was one of the people that bought that?
Oh, definitely.
Like, I had her when she was in the minor league. Now that she's pro, yeah. I gotta see how her batting average is.
Oh my God.
That's bad, but great. And I love it. And it should be on this show.
The fact that, like, here she is, like, going to do porn, and the people, her fans are like, "No, you're old. Put your clothes away." On.
I mean, she looks.
It's time to hang up the nipple tassels.
Yep. She looks great, but stress will do a doozy on you.
Yes. In September 2010, Dream Zone Entertainment released the adult film.
I thought you said Dreamcast in my head. I'm like, what? Sega?
Well,
DreamWorks.
2010? I mean, I
didn't see that Steven Disney production. Spielberg?
Moana, no! Yes, Dream Zone Entertainment released the adult film Deep Inside Amy Fisher.
That sounds a lot dirtier than the last title.
Yes. Calling it the first of eight such films Fisher would produce and in which she would star. This isn't the fucking Lord of the Rings. Like,
by the way, you have to watch them in order.
Right.
Exactly. I know, right? Yeah.
I started with four and I was lost.
When did you get that cock ring?
Her ass she lost so a finger. Big.
Yeah, right? So the company had announced the movie in July 2010 under the working title The Making of Amy Fisher, Porn Star. In June 2011, Fisher said she was no longer making adult films.
2011?
Yes.
Interesting.
Huh. We'll come back. But yeah. Like Mary Jo and Joey, Amy also appeared on multiple TV segments and shows. In 2006, and this is what blew my mind.
Blew his brains out.
Yes. One bullet, and I survived. In 2006, Fisher reunited with Mary Jo Buttafuoco in sessions televised for Entertainment Tonight and its spinoff, The Insider. Fisher said
also the name of one of her movies.
so fast.
Fisher said she wanted to heal and move on with her life.
Well, after the insider, I get that.
Mm-hmm. However, 2 years later, she said she felt, quote, no sympathy for Mary Jo.
Really?
Without giving an explanation. So, how, like, this is some straight up WWE. Like, she turned heel.
No kidding.
She turned face and then she turned heel. I have to imagine, like, there's some behind the scenes where Mary Jo is still like, you realize I can't function on the side of my face. You're still a bitch.
Right. Like, she also is the reason she got out of jail early.
Right.
Well, and she could have also been like, you're nothing but a porn star now.
I would have loved to see them, like, join forces and just be mad at him together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, yeah. I would love to see an alternate universe where that happens and they, like, just
fuck this blowhard.
And, and they fight him together, because realistically
that's what should have happened.
Mary Jo was jilted because she was cheated on, but also he was boinking a 16-year-old. Like, that's abuse to her.
Right.
So, and like, in her mind, he screwed over both women. Like, if they
literally,
and I understand that, like, she shot her in the face, but at the same time, you know, I would like to think that Mary Jo
get over it.
Well, honestly, I would like to think that Mary Jo would look at that and say, like, well, that was a minor. She was being manipulated
by my ex-husband.
If maybe Joey had something to do with it.
Well, that's verdict territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
friend. Yes, it is. And, you know, so let's continue. Fisher and Joey eventually reunited for the first time at the 2000. And this is so Joey. Like, this is like, we're like, probably like, oh, this is so him. Like, you know, normally that's Joey. Like, oh, yeah. It's Ryan showed up late for the podcast. It's so Ryan. Joey Buttafuoco and Amy Fisher eventually reunited for the first time at the 2006 Lingerie Bowl.
Of course.
Except for one of them had bigger tits than the other, and it was
Joey.
It was Joey.
Even with that augmentation.
Right.
In May 2007, Fisher and Joey also met for dinner at Port Jefferson, Long Island, in what TV producer David Queef. David Queef. He's French, though, because there's an R, so we'll say that. David Queef said was an attempt to develop a reality television show.
Gross.
So they were talking.
They were talking about making a reality show
over shots.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were able to score a reality show, especially during that era, that would have been impressive.
Yeah.
Because the Joey and Amy Fisher, like,
she's a porn star at this time, and he's...
I mean, you can't show that on network TV. $10 said
VH1 would have played it.
Oh, my God. VH1 was literally at their door, like, humping them, just spraying Riley piss everywhere, like, freaking the fuck out.
Poor guy.
I know. I'm sorry.
In June and July 2011, Fisher appeared as a cast member in the fifth season of the reality television series Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, which aired on
VH1.
Love that show.
Well, interestingly enough, wasn't that the season with somebody else who we've covered? As
a celebrity?
Oh, okay.
Let me look quick.
Keep
a minute.
Going.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, while you're doing that, I got one thing left. She has legally changed her name and is now residing in Long Island after previously living in Florida with her kids.
Changed her name to Amy McShooterface.
No. Now it's Amy Gatherer. As of 2021.
Ah, yes. I love these.
Here we go.
Amy Fisher is a webcam model.
Of course she is.
Fucking course. She's some OnlyFans model. I
good for her.
Guarantee it.
Good for her.
Well, yeah, no.
And
yeah, she's making money off of shooting someone in the face. Good for her.
And you know what? I do have one tiny, tiny snippet here that could fall under pop culture, but I don't think we need to play the drop.
I don't even have it.
Fair enough. According to Alan Ball, Fisher's story was an inspiration to him in writing the script for the 1999 film American Beauty.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I forgot that. And I remember
which makes perfect sense.
Of course, because What's his name is a creep on young people.
Oh,
too.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. Mm-hmm. Creep as well.
And he's a creep in general.
Yeah.
But in that movie, he's a creep that goes after an underage girl.
Well, it's funny because I remember specifically. Yes. Remember specifically when I walked out of the theater when I originally saw that movie, and I didn't tie it to the But a Foucault case, but I remember specifically talking to one of my friends who I went and saw the movie with, and I was like, how are we supposed to enjoy a movie where the guy sleeps with a minor kid in high school? Like, I was caught off guard. I liked the movie, but I was kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I need to know who was in.
Yes. Okay.
Celebrity Rehab.
So it was season five, with Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, his story's amazing.
Yep. Dwight Gooden.
Nope. Pitcher for the New York Mets.
Yep. He was addicted to cocaine, alcohol, and Ambien.
I mean, he was doing cocaine between innings.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Jeremy Jackson, who is on Baywatch, is Hobie Buchanan.
Yeah, wasn't he the son?
I didn't watch Baywatch.
Yeah, he was
the only one who wasn't watching it at the
point. Right, and he was in there for roids. Jessica Kuiper, who was on Survivor twice. Bai Ling, the actress, was there for alcohol. Sean Young, actress in Blade Runner and Dune, for alcohol.
That's probably what I'm thinking of,
And Michael Lohan, Lindsay Lohan's dad, was in there for alcohol and cocaine.
Oh. What was he famous for?
Who?
He's just the fucking shitty dad of Lindsay Lohan's
dad. That's what he's famous for.
The reason Lindsay Lohan is the way she is.
Yeah. Oh, I just wasn't sure if like he was like a mid-range actor and then had her and she blew past him.
Man, I might have to rewatch.
Good.
And you have to pay for them, but it might be worth it.
Because I'm looking at some of the like Janice Dickinson, the model, Leif Garrett, Jeremy London.
My mom was obsessed with Leif. Was it Garrett?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Busey's in one of them.
That's right. Daniel Baldwin.
My favorite was Eric Roberts for pot.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's like what everyone else is like having withdrawal symptoms, and they just show him reading a paper, drinking coffee.
Jeff Conaway was there for
RIP
painkillers.
Yep, you end up getting back on him and dying.
Well, that's a sad story.
And China was on one. Yep. And Brigitte Nielsen.
Yep.
So our next podcast, when this one ends, is just Celebrity Rehab.
Fuck.
Rewatch videos.
Yes.
I'm all in. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that could be a thing for an episode of The List.
Yeah.
It could be, but it also could be
VH1 reality TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What have I done?
Yep.
That's the episode.
That's mm-hmm. everything I have here.
Yeah.
Well, as we do every episode, we have to end with a verdict. One corner, four podcasters rejoined together. It's been a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. We love you. In the other corner, a auto mechanic, a young nymphette,
a young brain surgeon.
Oh my God. And a pretty young, beautiful Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
Sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to ask ourselves who we really think is the villain in this story. Who do we think is responsible for what happened?
Pretty easy. Joey.
Yeah.
He doesn't fuck around with her. She never shoots Mary Jo in the head.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks is like, if it wasn't Amy Fisher that he goes after, who Samantha West, or
but that it doesn't, you know, mean she's like, gonna be crazy enough to shoot someone in the head.
Well, I know, but I think that's what it points to. Joey,
I see what you're saying.
Like, he, because this guy clearly like he went after a 16-year-old, and we heard the story, and I do believe her. You know, because he was trying to say like it was lies, and it's like she's got some pretty detailed stuff, and I mean she grew up and
she had the T-shirt,
yeah,
right.
So I think that what she did sucks, but
the T-shirt said I fucked Joey Buttafuoco and all I got was this T-shirt. It's kind of damning evidence.
Jesus. You know, I like April said, it really would have been interesting if after all those years that the two women got together and said, no, we're going to take this asshole down, because he fucked a minor. And all that's happened since then is he's getting money left and right from doing all these appearances. Mm-hmm. He never paid the price.
He's a sociopath. Yeah.
Do you think he put her up to it?
Oh, I don't think so, but...
I don't think so either. I think as a teenager... I mean, in that kind of an intense relationship, if she thinks that that's the only way to get rid of the wife, I don't think that would, because I'm sure someone like Joey Buttafuoco would have continued having an affair indefinitely, with no intention of leaving his wife. He just wanted a hot piece on the side.
I think it's possible that he planted a seed. Like, he could have been like, oh, I could see you more often, but I got to go home to my wife. And
yeah, but his family was so... Maybe he
never said, like, here's a gun, go kill her, but...
Right, but his family, this, like, perfect nuclear family with a boy and a girl and literally a white picket fence, he looked and was a respected member of the community. I don't think he would give that up for a hot piece of ass.
I mean, who kills the mother of their children?
Damn it, Juice.
I have to agree. I think Joey's the biggest villain in the story. I don't feel like that rests on Mary Jo. I think Mary Jo is a great human, and I think it's great what she did to help Amy get out early. I think Amy is probably the secondary villain, but not as bad. And I'm saying this in a way like she's maybe like a smidge bad. I would say she's a product of circumstance.
She's
was
a product
there at the
of
time.
A lot of manipulation from and mistreatment from men.
Yeah,
but you got to know that shooting someone in the head is wrong.
She's 16, though.
At 16, I'm pretty sure I knew that shooting someone in the head was wrong.
I know, but she's an escort. She's being screwed by this 36-year-old married man who makes her feel.
It's on God's top 10 list.
Yeah, it is, true. But I'm saying I think Grand Theft Auto. There was a lot of pressure on her, specifically by being with a married man who she's already seeing he has all these obligations, and somehow probably semi-drug fueled or alcohol fueled, he's doing all these things, but also carrying on a relationship with a 16-year-old girl, making her feel like a princess. Mm-hmm. And then her dad also manipulated her, as far as we know. We don't know for certain, but supposedly he molested her. So she's looking for a father figure, and she's finding it.
Really bad people.
Mm-hmm. True.
And then we know that her husband was a piece of shit, too.
Lou?
Yeah.
Dirty Lou?
Dirty Lou. So all the men that have been in her life have been horrible.
Clearly she's a good decision maker.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a tragic story.
Yeah. It's nothing but tragedy for everybody.
But
Joey, the guy who's the reason for everything, like I said, he's I'm sure he's got $1 million in his bank account. And
I wish no ills on their family, because everything I've heard from the daughter, and I don't think the son's really spoken up, but the daughter specifically seems like a good natured individual. And I feel bad for all the Buttafuocos who aren't Joey. Joey specifically, guys, I'm sorry. Sometimes the blowhards hide a big, deep, dark secret, and they're shitheads. Yep. And this guy, in my personal opinion, if I had to have a verdict here today, which we do every episode, he's a shithead.
King shithead.
Yep. That's right. That's your verdict. All right. Well, hey, that's an episode, guys.
Yay.
Yeah. See you guys next week, Saturday, for another one.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
I guess.
Hey, let's keep it going. It's fun. God damn. What a 90s time capsule. Mm-hmm. I want to say, if you guys like our show, check out our YouTube channel, because I did make a 1992's playlist.
Nice.
So I threw some Prince in there for Josh. Mm-hmm. I threw a little House of Pain in there for Larry.
Oh, no, Beastie Boys, check your head. 92.
That's true.
Maybe. I said 92, so you put some children's lullabies in there for me. That would have been appropriately timed. Some nursery rhymes. In with the Beastie Boys.
I'd have been listening to Nirvana at that point.
I threw in some U2 for me. That would have been my jam.
Nice.
Well, guys and gal, been a long night.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's kind of early for us.
That's true. Yeah. We need to go smoke one.
Yep.
I love you guys.
Fill my bird bath.
Aww.
They said bird bath.
If you follow us on our closed group, you would know that I had lunch with the Shoops recently. It was mm-hmm. most delicious chicken fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Work.
Mm.
You would have loved it.
They were disgusting.
I love fajitas.
They were disgusting. You should be glad you weren't here.
They had a huge thing of sour cream and some like shredded cheese to put on it.
Creamy warm fajita.
Mm-hmm.
And then she heated up the tortillas too.
Yep.
Yeah. But what was crazy is that normally when I'm here, it's pitch black everywhere. So I don't
see. We record in the dark.
Kind of.
Pulling back the curtain. We just sit in the dark and talk at each other.
But I haven't seen April's patio of bird love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a patio of bird love, though.
Yeah.
All the creatures come out.
She's like Snow White back
literally,
there.
Yeah.
They put on their finest suit and tie so they can come.
It's fine
and
dining here at the Shoop bird restaurant.
They've got a bird bath that'll literally launch them to the moon if they're not careful and they budge the sub the pump fountain or whatever. Anyway, these guys are great. And it's fun coming here to the living room studio that we've now inhabited. We kind of moved around a little bit, but I feel like this was better tonight.
I like this.
Like we can see each other a little better. Yeah, it's a better nobody's there. Looking over.
Straining my neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, does anybody have anything they want to throw out there before we end this bad bear?
Mm. Oh my god.
The hits.
The wet vagina feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Try a super kick with my dick.
That happens. Poop.
God almighty.
Yeah. We'll see you next week in another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Have a great one, guys.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.